Our text today, Proverbs 16:9, will help you approach your plans for the day, as well as to think through your deepest ambitions in life. All of it is wrapped up in this one single text. The answer to those nagging questions of your heart are found in a proper approach to this text.
The old joke goes, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. But in reality, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, God's plan for you is no laughing matter. And on this edition of the Truth Pulpit, Pastor Don Green begins dealing with the subject in a message titled, When God Changes Your Plans. Hi, I'm Bill Wright. And Don, the Bible gives us a happy medium when it comes to planning and trusting God, doesn't it?
Well, Bill, I believe that Scripture gives us that which gives us joy and confidence as we look at our lives. My friend, I want to encourage you with something. God's plans always come to pass. He works through your plans and sometimes changes your plans so that His eternal purpose in your life is always accomplished. The things that we're going to study today will be liberating for you and perhaps even resolve some long-term questions or regrets you've had in life. We are excited that you're with us today on the Truth Pulpit.
Thanks, Don. And friend, let's join our teacher now in the Truth Pulpit.
What I want to do is to speak to those of you who had one idea of the way you wanted life to go up to this point, only to find that nothing worked out the way that you had planned either. Life has brought you disappointment. Your relationships have brought sorrow rather than joy. You failed where you thought for sure you were going to succeed. Your health failed early in life and never came back. Death came to someone that you loved before you were ready to say goodbye. And I would venture to say, if we bowed our heads and closed our eyes and raised hands, that there are a lot of people that could say with Job, Job 17, verse 11, "My days are past, my plans are torn apart, even the wishes of my heart." The Word of God is going to give us a context to resolve those doubts about our past, those regrets about the past, a context through which to see the unfulfilled plans of life, and restore us to a sense where we're looking to the future with absolute confidence and with a sense of being able to leave those regrets behind and accepting them as part of the grace of God even in our lives. And to do that, I want to direct your attention to the book of Proverbs, chapter 16. So I invite you to turn there, Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9, which says this, "The mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps." What I want to do is help you to see how your plans intersect with trusting God. We all understand that we're supposed to trust God as we walk through this life. Most of us do a fair measure of planning as we go through this life as well. The question is, how do those things intersect and how do we understand it when our plans fail and go a different direction? That's what I want to think through with you from the Scriptures. And just to define our terms, I want you to understand how I'm using the word plan today. Not that that necessarily needs a definition, but I just want to lay it out to kind of get our minds all going the same direction. Here's what I mean when I say, talk about the word planning. It's this. You plan when you use your mind to develop a proposed course of action with the means that you have at your disposal to achieve a result that you value. Planning is a mental activity. It's using your mind to chart out a course of action for the future that you want to follow with the hopes and with the desire that it's going to deliver a result that you think is important. And so you devote your mind, your energy, your resources to achieving a plan. It's a rational activity by which you take the future into account as you act in the present. And it's a natural part of life, from small details to an entire approach to living. You make a task list for the things that you want to get done in a particular day. And so you plan out your day around your task list. You want your car to run well, and so you follow the maintenance plan that the manufacturer sets forth in the owner's manual. On a spiritual level, you want to read the Bible cover to cover. You say, I believe the Bible is the Word of God. And it occurs to you that if you really believe that, that it might be important to know what it actually says. And so you find a Bible plan to follow that in one way or another will take you through every word of the sacred scriptures. Planning, a result that you desire, something that you want to achieve in the future, so you act now to make that happen. Well, our text today, Proverbs 16:9, will help you approach your plans for the day as well as to think through your deepest ambitions in life, the deepest desires that you have to honor God with your life in whatever area of service or avenue of opportunity that He gives to you. All of it is wrapped up in this one single text. And for those of you that have lived life long enough to see some of your plans fall through, to see God withhold things that you thought that He would give, even sadly to see how your own sin has compromised opportunity and forfeited opportunity that you otherwise would have had, all of these things are wrapped up, and the answer to those nagging questions of your heart are found in a proper approach to this text. And so there's three main points that I want to lay out for you. We'll bounce a little bit away from Proverbs 16, but come back to it in the end. The first point, if you want to take notes, is this. You should certainly plan. You should certainly plan. Now, it might seem like that doesn't even need to be said, but the truth of the matter is that some people who claim to be Christians believe that planning is inconsistent with trusting God. Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow, focus on today, so I'm just going to focus on what today has for me. But that's an abuse of Jesus' words in Matthew 6. Jesus was condemning anxiety. He was not condemning planning when He spoke in the Sermon on the Mount there. But in Proverbs chapter 6, turn back to Proverbs chapter 6. I just want you to see a little bit of the Bible's commendation of planning, just to set the context for the other things that we have to say. Proverbs chapter 6, beginning in verse 6. Solomon tells his son, go to the ant, O sluggard. Observe her ways and be wise, which, having no chief, officer, or ruler, prepares her food in the summer and gathers her provision in the harvest. In training his son for life, Solomon tells him, go and look at what the ant does. This ant is somehow self-motivated. This ant is somehow productive. This ant makes provision for the future in the way that it orders its life today. And so the Bible uses the ant as an illustration to call us away from laziness and to call us to lead productive, self-motivated lives that plan for the future. You should be thinking about the future as you approach your life today. Turn over to the chapter 21 of the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 21, verse 5, where it says that the plans of the diligent lead surely to advantage, but everyone who is hasty comes surely to poverty. Diligent planning leads to life advantage, the Bible says. And that's a general truth. It's not meant to exclude all possible exceptions, which is the nature of Proverbs. But in general, good planning leads to advantage that those who do not plan do not have. Impulsive behavior leads to poverty. And God wove this into the moral order of the universe. It's easy enough to think about that. One man and another man have the same job and the same basic income and the same basic expenses. But the first man orders his life and saves $200 a month, let's say. The other man values the opportunity to gather stuff and goes into debt at the rate of $1,000 a month and has the outward appearance of prosperity beyond the first man. But you know the outcome of that. Check back in 10 years and evaluate who had the best long-term result consistently going forward. The advantage of planning. The Bible says there is benefit to that. There is diligence in planning that leads to a good result. And it calls us to plan and to think about the future as we live out our lives today. On a more eternal scope, you might say, the godly person not only plans his finances and the details of the day, the godly man plans his life. The godly man thinks about the eternal significance of life in the way that he approaches it. You see, brothers and sisters in Christ, you should be conscious of, in your approach to life, of realizing that one day you are going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and give an account for the way that you have lived. Not an account for your sin. Our sins have been forgiven when we put our faith in Christ. But He's going to evaluate your life, and He is going to reward you according to the way that you've lived your life and the way you've taken advantage of your opportunities. And the only thing that possibly makes sense for any of you to approach your life with is to realize that that day is most certainly going to come. 2 Corinthians 5:10, we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You're going to stand before Christ and give an account. It would be the utter depth of folly to not contemplate that, to not calculate that into the way that you approach your life. The wise man, the godly man, calculates that in and says, oh, there's a day of reckoning coming, even though right now it seems far away, even though I don't know all of the details of what that's going to be like. The man who has a biblically informed view of life sees that coming and says, I'm going to account for the way that I live. I'm going to take that into account by the way that I set my priorities today. I'm going to shape my life around the reality that I'm going to stand before Christ. And when I think that way, sin isn't nearly as attractive as it otherwise would be if I was only focused on the desires of the flesh right now. And the sacrifice of obedience, the sacrifice of service to Christ, the setting of your affections on Christ in light of that certain time to come seems like the most glorious and wise and prudent thing to do. You calculate the future. You plan for that future day of standing before Christ in the way that you structure life today. That's what a godly man does. He plans for it. Moses said in Psalm 90, verse 12, reflecting that eternal perspective, he prays and he says, teach us to number our days so that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. Oh God, give me the grace to think beyond what is right in front of my nose. Help me to recognize the brevity of life and the eternal significance of living in your presence, the eternal significance of being accountable to you, oh God. And let that factor in and filter into the way that I live every day of my life. If you've never thought that way, you need to be stopped in your tracks. You need to stop what you're doing. Think about life seriously and calculate that. And all the more, if you've never put your faith in Christ, never truly repented of sin, and submitted your life to the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior of your soul, that is the only thing in life that matters. And so whether we look at it from a daily perspective or from an eternal perspective, you should certainly plan. You should plan because God commands planning in His Word, and God commends planning in His Word. He commands it in order to bless you. You plan and you experience the blessing of good and wise planning. And if you're like me, you want the blessing of God on your life. That's the only thing that matters. I want the blessing of God on my life, no matter what that looks like. Don't you? Well, part of seeking and receiving His blessing is the idea of planning. Well, secondly, point number two, not only should you certainly plan, point number two, I like this point. That's why I put it in the notes, I guess. Point number two, you should plan confidently. You should plan confidently. If you are a true Christian, you should have the greatest possible confidence as you look forward to the future. Let me remind you of another important passage in Proverbs that many of you take as your life verse. Proverbs chapter 3, turn back there with me very quickly if you would. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. A verse not directly about planning, but about the mindset with which you plan. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. You can probably recite it by heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. At the core of trusting God, really, is confidence. You trust God, meaning that you have confidence in what the future is going to bring because you know the living God and you know that He is going to be good to you because you belong to Him through faith in Christ Jesus. You're confident about the future. Your confidence speaks to your understanding and your trust in the goodness and faithfulness of God to His children. And so, Christians should be confident about the future. Get this. We're confident about the future not because we know what's going to happen in the details of our lives as it works out, but we are confident because it is our Heavenly Father who holds and directs and determines the future. It's not in the events of the future, but it's in the person behind the future, the person who is unfolding His plan for history in every detail. And we know Him, and we love Him, and we trust Him. And so we trust and we look forward to the future and we plan with confidence because we know that as one of the children of our Heavenly Father, the only way it can possibly come out for us is good in the end. I haven't always lived that way, and I bet you haven't either. But that is the birthright, that is the privilege, and that is the responsibility of every true Christian, to be confident about the future. Stated differently in the context of planning, we don't plan because we're afraid of the future. We don't stockpile goods and look for a hole to hide in case the apocalypse comes, or you know, the next variation of the Y2K phenomenon comes down the pike. No, we don't plan because we're afraid. We plan in confidence because God calls us to plan and we seek His blessing. We seek to live in obedience to Him. As He says, the plans of the diligent lead surely to advantage. Well, we say, well, if that's what you want, Lord, then I'm going to plan my approach to life. I'm going to plan my day. I'm going to order things so that I can position myself for the maximum blessing from You. Because I believe Your goodness, and I believe Your promise, and I trust Your wisdom. And I'm not going to go through life haphazardly, and I'm not going to go through life fearfully either. Romans 8:28. We know that God causes all things to work together for good, for those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. That's the context in which you plan. That's the context in which you think about life, if you're going to approach life biblically at all. You say, this comes out good in the end. And so whatever the apparent detours, the seeming detours might be along the way, I'm confident in a good final outcome for me because God saved me in order to bless me. God saved me in order to be an instrument of His glory. God saved me and has reserved for me a place in heaven that no one can take away. Nothing is going to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. It comes out good in the end. It can't come out any other way. And so you as a Christian should be marked by a robust confidence in the future. And your planning is done from confidence about God's ultimate goodness upon you, not trying to calculate every bad thing that could happen and then shield yourself from a position of weakness. No, we plan, we live in a position of confidence in God's goodness. We trust Him with all of our heart. We acknowledge Him in all of our ways. With an utter certainty in our most depth of our hearts, that He's going to direct our steps to bless us. Is that where your heart's at? Is that what you believe? To the extent that there's a gap between what the Bible calls us to and where you know your heart to be, the margin of that is your opportunity for spiritual growth. Those margins where in those things that concern you and worry you and trouble you and give you anxiety, that margin is where you need to focus like a laser beam and say, that is where the spiritual opportunity for this coming week is for me. I need to change from anxiety to confidence. I need to go back to the promises of my good God. I need to go back to the reality of the love of my Lord Jesus Christ. Who am I to question whether there's any possibility that the future is going to be anything other than wonderful for me in the end? You appropriate, as it were, God's perfect faithfulness to His children and to your entire view of life. We affirm, most of you would quickly affirm, God is faithful. Well, that's right. That's proper biblical thinking. God is good. God is faithful. But what you have to do as a Christian is you need to take it, as it were, you need to pull that down from heaven and into your heart in a way that says, because God is faithful and because I'm one of His children, I see the absolute certainty of this result. God's going to be good and faithful to me. Just as the Apostle Paul spoke about the death of Christ, and he said He loved me and gave Himself up for me, first person singular. Just as the Apostle Paul says that about salvation, about the work of Christ on His behalf, it was for me. And in receiving Christ, we take that same thing. Yes, Christ died for sinners, but oh, the glory of it all is that He died for me. I appropriate that personally. I believe that God had me in mind. Christ had me in mind on the cross. And now, going forward with the forgiveness of sins, with the full justification of God on my account, now I look to His faithfulness and I affirm the intrinsic nature of His character, that He's faithful in general, which means in particular, He's going to be faithful to me. He's going to be good. Even if it doesn't, I don't quite see how this or that sadness fits into that right now. I'm looking, as it were, I'm standing and I'm looking over the circumstances and I'm seeing a certain outcome. Even though I can't define the details for you, there is no doubt in my mind that God's going to be good to me in the end. He's going to be so good to me in the end that my tongue isn't even going to be able to express it. I'm not going to have the language, I certainly don't have the language now, to magnify God for the greatness of the faithfulness that He's going to show to me throughout all the halls of the eons of eternity.
Today on the Truth Pulpit, Pastor Don Green has shown why Scripture tells us to plan, but to do so confidently. Don will have a third point on the subject on our next broadcast as he concludes his message, When God Changes Your Plans. Join us then. Meanwhile, we invite you to visit our website, thetruthpulpit.com. There you can download podcasts or find out how to receive CD copies of Don's radio messages for your personal study library. And if you want to go even more in depth, you'll also find the link Follow Don's Pulpit. That'll take you to Don's full-length weekly sermons, not subject to the time editing we need for radio broadcasts. And if you're in the Cincinnati area, check out the service times for Truth Community Church, also on our website. And do plan a visit. We'd love to welcome you. I'm Bill Wright, and we'll see you next time on the Truth Pulpit.